complete dependence on the Lord for his help, we'd ask your attention to chapter 30, prophecy of Isaiah. Chapter 30 of the prophecy of Isaiah, verses 20 and 21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. I hope we may say, with the Lord's help, to make a few remarks this morning from these words. Entered a little, very briefly, really, into these two descriptive words, the bread of adversity, the water of affliction. We see, as we said this morning, from whence it comes. And though the Lord give you, it is to a gracious evidence of being among the children of God. He deals with his people for their profit and good, and for his eternal praise. This can never be read with the worldling in the mind, nor the false professor. It isn't their pathway. Their pathway is described in Psalm 73. They don't know this path. They're not in it and never will be unless grace intervenes. But a child of God will be in this path, and not only once or twice, but for, as we said this morning, if you look naturally at bread and water, we need it for the growing and strengthening and blessing of our body and frame. So the Lord is pleased to use in these descriptive ways adversity and affliction or oppression for the benefit of our souls. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, and very mercifully, my friends, we must also give him the praise for stirring up what is real and what is of him working in our souls. And he will do so by this means. I thought this morning of those words, though I never quoted them. The Lord Jesus Christ's own words as he ended his earthly ministry, or he ended his public ministry, was in this, that in the world you shall have peace, in me you shall have peace, in the world you shall have tribulation. Now the Lord give you the bread, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. And it is so described like this because it will be indeed set before the people of God as his way and means that he shall appoint to teach and make profitable to your soul in these pathways. We do not seek adversity. We never ask for affliction. But how much profit have they been? Only the Church of Christ can testify. I know of cases, and I hope it may please the Lord too, that you may have known cases, and perhaps in your own case, and perhaps in mine as well, if it was profitable to tell, when in the adversity and afflictions of the pathway which the Lord put us in, that out of it came that which was for his eternal praise. We spoke even about the bread of adversity, in the water of affliction, in the way that he chastens his people. Oh, how often do we rebel even against this means of teaching and profit. As many as I love, I quoted this morning, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. And Paul wrote in the Hebrew to the Hebrews, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous, nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. Now we want to go on a little further. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. So there is too an evident change and blessing in this bread of adversity and the water of affliction. I've often thought of those words of Jesus. I read them to myself, I believe, recently, but in chapter 13 of John's Gospel, we find these words, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now that concerned his present future path. That concerned Gethsemane and the judgment hall and Calvary. That concerned his ignominious death. That concerned the Church of Christ, because by these means and so many others, there stood their redemption and their eternal safety. But there isn't many times you can honestly say before the Lord that when you're brought into adversity and affliction, that you know the reason why. I remember one occasion, not so many years ago, but something occurred which was distressing. But it was accompanied with these words, nor Gabriel asked the reason why, nor God the reason give. But it is not so in this word. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. It is simple to understand that the method and way which teaching shall bring and the blessing of teaching is the, if we might put it like this, a growth in knowledge and an increase in wisdom. Naturally speaking, if anyone is good in the pathway of education and is an able teacher, the purpose of it all is to impart knowledge to those whom he teaches, or her whom she teaches. And so it is with the Lord's dear people, and so it is through the blessed Spirit of Truth, who is the not only the comforter but the divine instructor of all his people. And it may please the Lord that instead of using his own holy word and the means of grace for your divine instruction, he may put you into a path of adversity and affliction, and in that place calls you to learn and to know and to be under the knowledge and understanding and wisdom of a gracious God, such things that shall be for your eternal profit, which you may not have learned in any other place or situation. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. We have the scriptural example of the Apostle Paul in the second epistle to the Corinthians, where he speaks about his thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan. That was his adversity. That was his oppression. And as we've often said, and he has recorded, thrice did he pray for the removing of it. But that was not the answer. The answer was, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, And there again, just stopping for a moment, Paul knew why he had his thorn in the flesh. And it is very simple, because he records it, doesn't need me to interpret. He has said himself, lest I should be exalted above measure. And it may please the Lord to reveal to you why you walk in this path, why he gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, why he loads your shoulders with these burdens and these trials, why it causes you many fears, because Satan will tell you, even in these things, that it is for your overthrow. But it is not for the people of God's overthrow. It is for their good, and it is for the development of their spiritual experience and state, and it is for their edification and for their profit. And they shall see, and it shall be revealed to them why it is and for what profit it is to them. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And the benefit, my friends, is that there is to be a growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It is to make you and I more dependent upon him. It is to draw us closer to him, to lean more harder and more often upon him. What you sung in the hymn, you can't say very much about the poor one, can you? You can't say much about the bride of Christ. That text, as it comes from the Song of Solomon, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? She's nowhere else to lean. And leaning on her beloved, she will draw all the grace, all the strength, and I speak spiritually, of course, all the grace, all the strength, and all the wisdom, and all the knowledge, and all the help that she will want. And my friends, that is why at times the Lord is pleased to plunge his people in adversity and affliction, that they may profit by it and learn from it, and gain more knowledge of Christ, and gain more knowledge of themselves. We said, we quoted Hezekiah, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. And I've often said, it would be profitable even just to trace through the scriptures some of these dear saints of God whose pathway one would never envy. I've said this before, but we have someone write to us at Christmas, and they said one year that they'd been reading of these divines, some of these dear old saints of God who have long gone to heaven, and they wondered at their graces. And oh, they felt such a longing desire to have the blessings that they were in possession of. And I wrote back and said, if you walk their path, you might know their blessings. The two go together, my friends. If you walk in this pathway, this text, if you're in this place, this is spiritual. This is not necessary afflictions of body. This is spiritual. It is, of course, we must not leave out afflictions of the body or circumstantial affliction. But to my feelings, this is more afflictions of the soul and of the spiritual pathway of which every child of God shall be the subject of. And the Lord used the means, whatever means he will, so that there's profit and benefit. The greatest affliction you and I ever know is sin. And surprisingly to you and me at times, there's such an opposition to sin. And surprisingly, from whence it will come to, the Lord show you a sinful heart. The Lord show you that you possess a sinful heart. What will it do for you? Well, it will do many things. It will bring you to, with the gracious Spirit's aid and help, of course, not else, not otherwise. Not otherwise. It will drive you to despair if the Spirit of truth is not teaching you. But if he is teaching you through his word, and by this means sin becomes an adversity and an affliction, the ultimate end is, and this is the way the Lord does work through his Spirit, my friends, is to teach you a need of a Saviour and cause you to cry after him. You know, how precious is Christ's blood to you? Let me ask the question. How precious is it? Well, you'll tell me it's essential. That's not the answer. How precious is it? And when it becomes more needy, when it becomes the most essential blessing that you seek for, then your sins have been, if I may use the word, I hope I use it rightly, then the disclosure of your sinful nature and heart has been sanctified to this end, that it causes you to cry after and seek for the precious blood of Jesus Christ to be shed abroad in your heart and upon your conscience. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, and thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And oh, being plunged in the depths of self-abasement and indeed conviction of sin, and have brought to you the preciousness of that remedy, will only make you cry out after it more and more. But I said it brings its own adversity, sin. And that adversity and that oppression, you know, will come from the evil one. Because as your evil heart and nature is disclosed to you, and which causes you to weep and lament and mourn and groan and cry under it, and the very knowledge of it, did the apostle, when in writing to the Romans, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That was his groan, that was his sigh. But then, you know, the enemy of the soul will use it and take advantage of that disclosure, and so point out to you that despair is close at hand, and the judgment of God is poured about upon sinners. And there cannot be mercy for such a wretched sinner as you feel to need to be. Oh, when sin is not only an adversity to the sinner, but it is also used to bring, to drive them to despair by the enemy of the soul. No comfort ever came from Satan, you know. None at all. But nothing more than accusation, and nothing more than, as it were, driving the poor soul under a sense of sin and iniquity into deeper sorrows and greater darkness, and almost to despair they shall be found. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. But then what will it do? What will it teach? Take again, we must always use the scriptural example. I was going to say it's far safer to use a scriptural example than it is a personal example, because inadvertently we might be drawing attention to ourselves, but rather we should draw attention and that have the mercy of Christ revealed to the soul. But the scriptural interpretation or knowledge, my friends, is profitable to us when the knowledge of sin is brought. I thought again of that wonderful conversion on the Damascus Road. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And what does the Blessed Spirit leave on record that has been made profitable by this disclosure to Saul of Tarsus of what a wretched sinner he was? Three words. Behold, he prayeth. Three words, but my friends, there's eternal life in those words. Because that was the, by the authority and teaching and leading of the Spirit of God. Behold, he prayeth. Now, there's comfort here and there's mercy here, and it may not be revealed to you as such, but my friends, has sin made you pray? Has sin made you pray? It will do if it's the Spirit's work. It didn't make Judas pray. That wasn't conviction, that was remorse. But it makes a child of God pray. False to thee like Peter and would fain like Peter weep. It made him pray. The knowledge of sin. Oh, my friends, this is the bread of adversity and this is the water of affliction. But this is also the way and means in so many ways, and this is but one of them, which is made profitable to your soul. And the teachers, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. But then the bread of adversity and the water of affliction in the trials of the way, in those very many ways in which he is pleased to plunge his people into those things. And such of the tribulation of the way, whatever it may be, my friends, will affect the soul of a believer. And it will be in the soul of a believer where he shall profit and benefit and find instruction and divine teaching in it. If you and I are left, though we may, and I hope I can say this, though we may be believers in Jesus Christ, that we may have that work of grace within according to his mercy and goodness, that we may be left, my friends, to be in this lukewarm condition. I keep talking about that, I know. And it may please the Lord, or it may also that we may have a hardened heart, an indifferent spirit, that we might have to settle back, as it were, upon our profession, that we may go on and on in that, I was going to say, almost dead way, in the means of grace and taking up the ordinances of the house of God. You might, and I say this to myself tonight as I would to you in all my affection, my friends, look how you attend the means of grace. Look how you take up the word of God. Look how you approach the throne of grace. Whether it is real, whether it is urgent, whether it is exercise, whether it is the leading of the Spirit, or whether it is in that automatic way, that way of duty, that way of letter, something we've always done and we always will do. And prayer is therefore not prayer anymore, but an utterance of a few words which may suit the natural ear of man. And what will the Lord do to his people? Will he allow it to go on? Will he permit them to go on in this sleepy condition? Or will he stir up his work? My friends, he will stir up his work. He will bring them back into places. I remember in a long path of tribulation, which I believe was profitable to us, that when things began to get better, my friends, the prayers become less urgent and less fervent. And oh, time and time again, I used to notice this, that instead of it getting better, it suddenly reversed and it went into deep trials again. And I believe there's teaching there, my friends. This is where the teachers will be seen. This is where the knowledge will be gained, because he will use these means to stir up that exercise again and again. Yet shall not, you know, one of the most dreadful sins of a child of God isn't only unbelief, my friends, it's complacency. And he won't have that in the heart of a believer. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And oh, how we need this, my friends. I don't ask for it, but I know it can be profitable. And when the tempter will have you to believe, and he works mightily on my unbelief, I can tell you that. When he have you to believe that the Lord's going to withdraw his appearance for you and take away his help and remove the comfort that you so have known and bring you into that emptiness and poverty, my friends, he'll bring you to cry again. I've often thought of those words of David, and I've said often enough that they'll never be understood by a mere professor. Because a mere professor will take to himself religion, and he will then be assured by the amount of religion he's got that he's safe. And therefore, why is there any need to be concerned or overburdened with the state of the soul? They are safe, who are believers in Jesus, and nothing shall shift them, and nothing shall remove from them this false comfort. And David says something else. And my friends, here is instruction, and this is teaching. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And this is written for the generation to come, and the people that shall be created shall praise the Lord. You come to this state of destitution, and you wonder why, my friends, because he'll have you cry unto him. He'll have you do what you've been singing. Lean harder on him. And he'll use the means to do that. And these are the means: the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Both in your own souls, especially in your own souls. I've never met a child of God who's been blessed with forgiveness that hasn't come to times when he sought it again and again and again. And the tempter being so an able tempter and a mighty tempter, and one that takes advantage of the weakness of the nature of which we possess. My friends, how often, though you may have been blessed with forgiveness and pardon, and then you come into the places where it's clouded over and you can't see your evidences, and he'll say, well, indeed, your pardon was not secure. Your pardon was insecure. You were never pardoned. If you don't enjoy the enjoyment of that pardon now, what gives you the ground to say that you was ever pardoned? And so, my friends, that is the adversity and the affliction of the way. But blessed be God when he, and again, the word of God is our teacher, you know. The word of God will ever instruct you. If you've got a mind, a spiritual mind, and a spiritual exercise towards him, he will use his word, and the Spirit of God will reveal it. And he will bring that word to bear upon your state and condition, and it will be for your profit and benefit. My mind went to the 86th Psalm, isn't it? Where the poor man, and he's such a good man to me, the psalmist, but in his poverty he said, show me a token for good. Why would David, the most blessed character, one of the most blessed characters of grace in the holy word of God, why would he want a token? Oh, don't look down, and some people do, you know, they just can't see a purpose for asking for a token. Isn't he safe, David? Of course he's safe. He's an eternally safe, and so is every child of grace. But we all, like David, got an old nature. And if you've got adversity and affliction or oppression, as the margin says, when you go for relief, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And you'll go to the Lord as David did on those grounds. You know, I must be the most used preacher in the denomination that looks back and turns back to things we've said before, time and time again. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. I was going back to John Newton. 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Foreign language to a professor. Foreign language. Oh, those that take up with Christ, those who accept Christ, those who go after Christ in the flesh, they don't know this path. And yet, you know, there's a most blessed and sacred desire in every child of God's experience, and their cry will be that he will grant them that token. A token is a confirmation. The Lord granted Hezekiah a token, a confirmation. You remember in that incident in chapter 38 of this prophecy, the Lord spoke to him and he said, I've heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. There's the promise. And this shall be the sign. My friends, you that fear the Lord, and I hope you all do, I trust and believe that in this house of God we have those who fear God and have a pathway to bring before the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto thee that the Lord, from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the dial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Confirmations. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, and thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Well, you show me a child of God that doesn't want a token, or doesn't want confirmation. And I tell you, and I'll show you that the children of God who are an exercise people. And I'll tell you those, I'll show you those whom the Lord is going to use on Zion's hill, or in the causes of truth, in places of responsibility and burdens, and to such that he lays that exercise upon. They don't get there on ability. They don't take it up on merit. They don't go into the office, whether it's in the church as a deacon or a minister. My friends, on what they gain in their head, they go because the Lord has exercised them. But in the exercise of it, until the day of the fulfillment of it, they'll go to chapel and they'll listen. They'll go to the throne of grace and beg. And I beg the Lord and pray the Lord that he will lead and direct his own holy word, and whether it's through the means of grace or by the Spirit, work to grant them a confirmation that their exercise is of God and not of man. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Or we sometimes sing, and it is never too often, show me a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. What's the purpose of the bread of adversity and the water of affliction then? Well, when it is balanced by his grace, it'll drive you to the throne of grace. And then too, my friends, when you're in this place and in this spot, it's only the Lord's appearance will satisfy the longing soul. How often has it been so in the early days especially, but no, at other times through our pilgrimage, when you need the Lord to confirm these things within you. We're not of those people that receive it and then go on their way. If you've got grace, you'll have opposition, and it'll come from Satan or from self, at least in that two avenues of distress. And it will be to the Lord where you will approach. It will be to the Lord that you will seek, and nowhere else. It's like we said often, when Jacob was blessed at Bethel, that was the word that he took back to the Lord. That was the word that he asked the Lord to remember and to confirm it by delivering him from his fears and from his brother Esau. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand or when ye turn to the left. Now that's the most blessed word, that is. And that's the word, my friends, which will settle all things in the exercises of the people of God. This is the way, and thine ears shall hear. These are, and perhaps we've overlooked this point today, in the multiplication of our words, that we shall see within these words are these eternal shells. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, may it please the Lord that we might have those sacred demonstrations. A word, thou shalt hear a word behind thee, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. Those words, my friends, will be heard in the hearing of the soul. That's where they will be heard. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Why would a child of God turn to the right or to the left? Why was it that Christian in the Pilgrim Progress espied a more comfortable way and got over the fence and walked? That's why. But my friends, the way is straight on, and that way is a narrow way. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lest you should think some other way is more suitable, some other way which suits the flesh, more comfortable to the flesh. No, my friends, the way that the child of God shall walk is the way which the Lord decrees and appoints for them. But in this way which is right, in this way which every child of God shall walk, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, will be taken up with that word in Psalm 107. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. He's never promised a way that is smooth, comfortable to nature. He's never told his people that they'll walk a different path than Jesus Christ walked. Oppression, adversity was the lot of Christ. Oppression, affliction and adversity is the lot of the people of God. But it's the way. And this is the blessing, dear friends, in this way. Not only is it the right way, but it's the way you'll find Christ. You take up a path which suits your nature, and it will be a Christless path. You have a religion that hasn't got the leading of the Spirit, it'll never take you to glory. You make a profession which has got nothing of the beauty or the benefits or the blessings that are in Christ Jesus. You'll never find him in heaven. But this way, which is decreed and appointed, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. It is a way of blessing and mercy. It's a way of trial and trouble. It's a way of infirmity, affliction, adversity, oppression. But it's the right way. And it will lead you to glory. Well, time has gone. I didn't think we'd last 5 minutes this morning. But the time has gone. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. For thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left, this is the word of God. This is not the word of man. You'll find plenty of men who will tell you how to walk your path out and which way to take. But it's like the hymn writer said in hymn 812, the way I walk cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. Amen.
The Lord will, there will be a prayer meeting here on Wednesday evening, and our pastor is engaged to preach again next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 412. Their sweetness who can tell? In time and to eternal days, 'tis with the righteous well. In every state secure, kept as Jehovah's eye, 'tis well with them while life endure, and well when called to die. Hymn 412.
our dearest desire is for thy blessed Spirit to pronounce those words to each of our hearts. Oh, what mercy it is. One said, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? She said, it is well. Oh, may it be so. Bless thine own holy word. Bless the means of grace to our souls. Pardon and forgive all that's been wrong or amiss in thy sight. Now take us home in peace and abide with us. Go with us in the untrodden steps of tomorrow. Lord, be with those who go away. Bring them back again in peace. Abide with us wherever we are. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us both now and forever. Amen.